Welcome back to the Girls Talk Ag Podcast, plowing through the manure online, proud members of the Global Ag Network, amongst many of our friends. Among, is amongst a word, you guys?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. Because the other day I typed it, and when I was talking on Twitter, and it the spell check told me, like, no.
It is in my world.
Get your shit together. I use it. Well, it's like one time I was, like, in my former life, I used to argue, like, politics on this news chat room thing that they used to have. This was, like, 15 years ago. It was super fun. And someone was like, it's not in regards. And so that's always stuck with me. Like, ridiculous
isn't red.
It's not
in regards. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's regard. In regard to.
Like, grammar snob.
Yeah, so you have those.
Whatever.
Right? The twisted panty people that just get mad because
you're not,
you know, whatever.
You're not listening to me if you're worried about every little grammar mistake I make.
Right. That's what. My ability to have, like, perfect grammar went downhill when I stopped getting graded for it. So, F-O. But anyway. Karen and Jen are here. Karen is battling her illness still. She's got the herpes or something. We don't know. But she's struggling. And Jen is also here, and she's herpes free.
I am
so
herpes free.
We got that going for us. We're going to talk today about something that, you know, is somewhat, I think, very interesting. Judging by the feedback that we got on Twitter, it's something that can trigger a small group of people or a large group of people.
What doesn't,
all of the people.
What doesn't trigger Ag Twitter? Say that three times now.
Donuts. Yeah. I don't know. Have you gotten into a fight about donuts?
Mm.
Has anyone?
There's been a little controversy. I like sprinkles.
Yeah.
So.
I had someone tell me that poonskis were not a donut yesterday, and I'm like, you need to STFU. Because they're delicious, and I can't eat them because I hate myself or something. I don't know. But so we're going to talk about the green. Is it the new Green Deal or the Green New Deal?
The Green New Deal.
Okay.
Color comes first.
So, and that's, right?
Color
and
matters.
Color matters. It's green. And it's interesting. You guys have done a lot of studies on it, or you've done some research. I have not. You are a better person than me. I mean, I checked out a little bit of it, and I was just like, oh, okay, so this is where we're going with this. You know, and I think what's the most interesting thing to me is it's trying to, like, harken back to the Roosevelt policy, right, during the Depression, the New Deal.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was based around that, the idea.
And, you know, I'm going to admit, you know, like, if nowadays, if we were to see something like that, and I like to consider myself a history buff, but I'm not in so many ways. Like, I have so many failings. So there's tons of other people out there that'll be like, Angie, you're wrong in that. But, you know, the New Deal, I think if it were to be announced in today's world, everyone would lose their shit. But, you know, what was cool about it, what I think is cool is, like, if you drive north in Michigan here, the state of Michigan, you can see where they had planted the pine trees. So there was, you know, some of the jobs sponsored by the government were the planting of pine trees up in the UP along the northern portion of Michigan. And it's kind of cool to see. And it's there's that, and then what, they had them digging ditches and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of people will say that
at some point in time, there's going to be every government policy or deal or law. It does help someone.
Yeah.
Just, it may not, I mean, it does do something, let's be honest.
But a lot of people, you know, will say that it wasn't the Depression, or it wasn't the New Deal necessarily that pulled us out of the Depression, it was World War II, right? So there's always that argument. And a lot of people harken back to the New Deal as being what saved America. So who knows? But that has nothing to do with what this is other than the title. Because I think, you know, a lot of times in school especially, I mean, I can remember our education on the New Deal being very blossomy, very positive. There was not really much in the way of a counter argument, you know, as to the effect of, well, people against government intervention were like, no, you know what I mean? Because there wasn't Twitter back then.
Which is funny because I don't even remember talking about it in school. And I'm sure we did.
Oh, yeah.
I just probably
they probably don't now. I would imagine they don't now.
I remember a little bit, but I don't remember, you know.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I remember it being mentioned, but that's it.
I've just always been really that portion of history to me. I am from like 1850-ish, you know, when the Western expansion really got going through the Civil War into like 1950, I've always had this romanticized sort of, you know, view of it and always have been really interested, the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, you know, that sort of stuff. So I may have spent some more time. I was also a very big nerd and had time when it was, you know, just me and no kids yelling at me. So no kid yelling at me. Well, Carl counts, so kids. You know, so I've done a lot of reading. But anyway, the Green New Deal, tell us a little bit about what you guys have found in your studies, what it is, what she's trying to do, and what it could mean for us going forward.
So, for me, I read a little bit, and if you don't break it down, you generalize it, who isn't for it, honestly? Who wouldn't want to be for achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions through a fair and just transition for all communities and workers? Hello?
Right.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be for creating millions of jobs, high wage jobs, and ensure prosperity and economic security for all people of the United States? Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Invest in the infrastructure and industry of the United States to sustainably meet the challenges of the 21st century. Well, duh.
Right. Where do I sign up?
I mean, right. Secure for all people of the United States for generations to come. Clean air and water. Climate and community resiliency. Healthy food. Access to nature and a sustainable environment.
I like the way you're saying it. It reminds
me of... Sign me up!
Right?
Sign me up! This one, though, is my favorite. To promote justice and equity by stopping current, preventing future, and repairing historic oppression for indigenous peoples, communities of color, migrant communities, deindustrialized communities, depopulated rural communities, the poor, the low-income workers, women, the elderly, the unhoused, people with disabilities, youth, and people with two left feet who can't dance. What the f***?
Well, you know, I think that...
Why wouldn't you be for this? This sounds like she's running from Miss Congeniality at a pageant.
It reminds me of, like, Miss America, the South Carolina girl.
Yes.
Such as...
Yes.
But if you read the resolution itself, the first part of it is all gloom and doom.
Yeah.
You know, the sea levels are rising. Global warming is at 2 degrees above Celsius beyond industrialized levels. It's going to cause mass migration from the regions most affected by climate change. More than like 500 gazillion in lost annual income by the year 2100. Wildfires that by 2050 will annually burn at least twice as much forest area as the Western United States than was typically burned by wildfires in the years preceding 2019. A loss of more than 99% of all coral reefs on the earth. More than 350 million more people to expose globally to dead heat stress by 2050. A risk of damage of 1 bazillion of public infrastructure and coastal real estate in the United States. And global temperatures must be kept below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrialized levels to avoid the most severe impacts, which will require global restrictions in greenhouse gas emissions of human sources of 40 to 60%. From 2010 levels by 2030 and net zero global emissions by 2050. First of all, it's Celsius, so, you know, most of us can't even convert that fast enough, but.
That's why I want to eat donuts, because if the world is ending, eat the donuts.
Yeah.
She was quoted as saying, quote, "At this point, we don't even have to prove it. just walk outside in the winter in a lot of places, and it's either way worse than you're used to or way warmer than you're used to. What the fuck?
Right. Yeah.
Because weather never changes.
I know. Well, that's they're in that. I mean, that's the whole entire thing, right?
It's like there's two arguments, or I get frustrated with this idea. Okay, first of all, climate change has been going on forever. Like,
we don't even
Michigan was covered in a glacier. It had a glacial lake upon it. We had dinosaurs pooping in, you know, our
they farted
toilets.
Too.
I don't know. Like,
did dinosaurs fart? I bet they did.
Oh, I'm sure they did. That's why there was the Big Bang or whatever.
Ooh, a dinosaur fart caused the Big Bang.
The fact is, like, okay, think of what the world looked like initially when it was formed, right? You had, what was it, Pangea? And then it broke apart into continents, and you had all of these things that have taken place over the years. You know,
the climate is changing. Did you just name that after yourself?
What?
The Angea?
Pangea, P-A-N-G-E-A.
Oh. Let you name it after yourself.
No, that would be cool, though. Yeah.
They look at climate change, though, and they talk about weather. But, yeah. You know, weather is only, we only have, like, what, 112 years or so on record?
Yeah.
Where, you know, obviously the Earth has been around a lot longer.
Yeah. We have a very minute.
Right.
Yeah,
but, you know, the world's going to end in 12 years if we don't do this now.
So. No, it was going to end in 2012, according to the Aztecs, so we made it. But no, so that's the deal that I get frustrated with. Okay, everyone, will you deny climate change? No, I don't.
Of course climate is changing.
Yeah, I just don't know the extent of which mankind can influence it, or is causing it, or
but
whatever.
But that's not to say that we can't do better. You
that's
know,
exactly
can,
it. Like
you
could
always
do better.
Waste. We can, you know.
Do you remember
not
how much
drive tanks, all kinds of stuff?
Do you remember how much trash used to be in the? And maybe this is just like where I grew up, but used to be in the ditches, littering.
It was everywhere. The '70s like, and the '80s, trash was everywhere.
Constantly, tires and ditches. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, you very rarely see trash in the ditch anymore. You know?
Oh, I think that's amazing.
I'm not saying that because, like, oh well, the problem solved. But I'm just saying, like, there's ways that you can push and educate. You know, how old were you when you stopped letting the water run when you brushed your teeth? You know what I mean? I think it was like second or third grade when you had to do the how many containers
see,
you fill up.
I still let it run.
You're a horrible person and you're going to hell.
I am.
You're both. You need to. Okay. All right. That's it. This afternoon, the next time you brush your teeth, see how much water you waste. But no, so that's the thing. Like, we used to have to do that in second or third grade, like fill a container and see how much water while you're brushing your teeth, because you're supposed to brush your teeth for like 2 minutes or whatever.
I just read the other day that if you pee in the shower, you save at least once a day, you save a ton of water.
That's
I seriously
cool.
read that.
That's not surprising, and that's probably part of the Green New Deal. You know,
no,
but the thing
you
is,
should pee in a bucket and compost it.
Ugh. Like, what is that?
What
where
was
you,
it that somebody said, yeah, you pee in a, oh, and then you
can
recycle it to drink it.
Yeah. Ew. No, thank you. No, not happening ever. You know, so I get really frustrated because there's so many things that we can do, you know, to help. But what happens is if we don't do them, so it goes back to the whole, in my opinion, the GMO, non-GMO labeling thing, right? So we didn't label GMOs, or we didn't want to. We buried our head on that side, and now we're fighting this, oh my God, we're labeling things that are not available as a GMO, as non-GMO, and that's causing great angst. Well, if you aren't willing to work in ways to help do certain things to improve the environment, we end up with this kind of bullshit. I feel like if you don't compromise with, I mean, and obviously there's a lot of crazy people that will never see anything as a compromise. They just want it their way. And AOC or whatever, she might be one of those people. I think she just likes, she just wants the attention and the power that comes along with attention.
Or making a name
political
for herself. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see the tweet that I guess he was the co-founder of Greenpeace, although Karen said he is not associated with Greenpeace anymore?
Is that right, Karen? Original founder, he's not.
Patrick Moore? Anyway, he tweeted about the thing. He said he called her a pompous little twit. You don't have a plan to grow food for 8 billion people without fossil fuels or get the food into the cities. Do you want to use horses? If fossil fuels were banned, every tree in the world would be cut down for fuel for cooking and heating. You would bring about mass death.
Yeah. But that's part of, I don't even want to say this, but there is a good portion of people from a certain political leaning that do sign up or believe in a certain level of eugenics, of, you know, doing the Darwin thing, the survival of the fittest, et cetera, et cetera. What I find most interesting, though, I saw something this morning come out about her. She was like 1,000 feet or 1,000 yards, her campaign headquarters were from the subway, yet she racked up like so many of these ride sharing transactions. Like, so she, instead of taking public transportation, she was taking cars. And the other day they had posted like she was in this gas guzzling van and she turned it around. I had to give her credit. The New York Times or someone was like, you know, she is pushing for all of these ways of fixing the environment, blah, blah, blah. Yet she's in this 18 mile per gallon gas guzzler van. And she's like, well, my Tia is kind of mad that you were picking on her van, sort of thing. So she has a knack of turning things around easily. And I think that she's, I don't think people know quite how to handle her, which concerns me because it means, I think that, stuff like this is going to get traction because people are
gotten traction.
Well, obviously yeah. She got elected from almost nothing. I mean, she was like 37,000 in debt before people decided to, you know, help her fund her campaign and turn it around. You know, she's young. She is well educated, even though I know sometimes she doesn't come across that way. You know, she's a savvy social media person. She knows what she's doing. And I think she's just throwing stuff out there to see what sticks. I mean, I highly doubt she wrote this whole thing herself, but.
Well, there was a senator involved too, wasn't there?
I'm not sure, but well, this is a House resolution, somewhere I read so that. I'm not sure, but. Everybody tries to do the big bomb, you know, what can we throw out there and, you know, get people talking, but, you know, you can find more stuff with sugar, you know, let's talk about small things that we can do. You know, in agriculture, we talk about the four R's as far as nitrogen usage. We have restrictions on manure applications. You know, we have rules on what pesticides can be used. You know, let's use more paper bags or recyclable bags instead of plastic ones. Let's drink water out of the faucet. Let's talk about little things that everyone can do that doesn't cost $3 trillion, you know?
Well, that's the other thing. She wants to just print money to pay for this. It's like, I got a huge lecture from my 16-year-old son this morning from Cole saying that her first problem is she doesn't even understand simple inflation. And I'm like, oh, I don't either, but. So I got a lecture on that.
Yeah, and he knew exactly Cole to school and not to talk with us.
I know, right? He, like, even knew how much the euro was worth right now. And I'm like, dude, why do you know that stuff?
But, Jen, he's going to take care of you when you're old.
So freaked out. Yeah, I guess I should just appreciate it. But now, on the other hand, I think, did Chris tell me yesterday that her mom didn't even have filed to not pay taxes or something like
no,
that?
No, she moved to Florida from New York because the taxes were so much higher.
There you
so
go.
Much higher
yeah.
in New York.
I knew it had yeah. something to do with taxes.
But that's really, I think that's such a politician thing right now is this hypocrisy. I think
yes.
that's where the frustration comes from.
But it's
from,
not
this
new. I mean, how much
class?
Did Al Gore lecture
no.
us on global warming, and yet he's flying around in a private jet and has like 15 homes, mansions.
No, that's the thing. It's not new. I mean, but yet every time it comes out, we are offended.
Well, we have a 24-hour news cycle that needs something to put on the air, I guess. But
you know, and that's kind of, I said that yesterday, you know, unrelated, but talking about the trade war, you know, our trade tiff here, and how different that would look if we didn't have Twitter. You know, mm-hmm. It was only 10 years ago where I would have to wait to, you know, the market would do weird things throughout the day, and I had no one to reach out to be like, well, what's the rumor? You know, you just had to wait until the afternoon news cycle came out, and
right.
And you would know, you know, and so obviously I think that that's part of her rise, but, you know, the one thing that just really kind of, I mean, I think we have to be willing to work under certain levels of expectation. So I had a conversation this morning with a couple of folks that are very left-leaning, but a part of Ag Twitter. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, how shocked or surprised they were if a Republican were to admit that climate change is real, just like we were talking about. And I said, well, I really struggle how anyone could deny climate change. You know, like we just said,
it's a fact. Climate does change.
Yes. But I also struggle with the idea is humans can stop it entirely, you know, but that doesn't mean, like we were saying, that we shouldn't be good stewards. And the first response that I got from one of them was, you know, talking about burning tires. Let me see if I can find it. My tweet deck doesn't want to work. Burning tires and dumping trash in ditches. Well, do you mean burning old tires and dumping waste in creeks and rivers should be illegal? And my only response was, you know, like, Jesus Christ, like, are you kidding me right now? Like, that's your comment to what I just said. And it's like, well, lots of people in our industry believe that it should be legal. Lots? I can't think of any one farmer that I have worked with that would be like, well, let's just go burn some tires, like, intentionally. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go ahead and dump my refuse in this creek back here. Like, you know, maybe I'm from a different part of the world, or I just don't surround myself with morons, but, you know, is that the view of agriculture? Right. So how do we fix that? You know, you were talking about, you know, all of the things that we're doing. How do we communicate that? It goes back to the food supply, I guess, all over again. You know, like,
advocating. We're supposed to advocate.
Yeah. But how do you, you know, how do you show that you are working?
Thank you for giggling here.
Right.
I mean, it just takes to, you know, turn the whole conversation.
It does. That's because we focus on the bad. It's true. We always focus on the bad. It's human nature.
One guy hits a cow with a cane on video, you know, with PETA, and all of a sudden every dairy farmer is an animal beater or whatever. Like,
it's human nature to focus on the bad, and that's what we do. And social media gives us that ability, really, right now, to do that. As opposed to promoting the good, we're constantly sharing the bad.
My favorite is when we quote tweet something that really should get no attention, and we're like, I'm not
exactly
getting attention, but look at this tweet. How stupid is it?
Or share it on Facebook. Oh, my God, PETA is saying this.
Yeah.
And sharing the video. Hello? All you're doing is spreading it to more people who are probably going to believe
it. Yeah, but that's the only way I'd see it. I don't know. I guess it depends on who you are. I mean, obviously the problem is we don't have enough critical thinkers anymore, but.
That is a big problem, obviously. I mean, that's, I think, you know, too many people. But at the same time, I think too many people base their idea, even in, like, these folks here that I was talking to, where they're like, you know, this happens more often than you think. Well, maybe in a prior generation, I really can't think of any sort of millennial style or even Gen Xer that didn't have some sort of education on being a good environmental steward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think we started in the 80s with it. I think it was necessary. Like, we were just talking about the trash, the, you know, the pictures of the birds trapped in, you know, pop can holders and oil spills. And I mean, sure, that stuff still happens to a certain extent, but it's not like it was before. We're not dumping environmental waste, as far as I know.
Well, everyone's not burning the trash in their backyard. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I know people that still do, to a certain extent,
paper and different things, but not anything that's going to emit some chemicals. I mean,
yeah,
people aren't or should not be burning their chemical jugs out in the back, which most shouldn't be, but
most, yeah. And I mean, so there are some, you know, there are ways that we need to document, not just in food production itself, but, and I know you hate this word, Jen, but sustainable, you know, what does sustainable look like? Well, I guess sustainable looks like not doing the things that people assume that we do. You know what I mean? The old bad habits, you know, dumping waste in creeks, burning tires. I don't know. I don't think you should have to take a picture of Colton's helping. He has an opinion on this right now too, but I don't think you should have to take a picture of this is me not burning these tires, you know, but, I don't know. I struggle. You know, and the thing that really gets me right now is we're having this whole issue with China taking recyclables, right? So now out in Iowa, it was a big deal like last year and the year prior that you're taking stuff to a recycling center and they're still dumping it into a landfill.
Yeah.
Because there's no market.
Is that right? Yeah, I don't even know. You just feel better about what you're doing. Who cares what the next guy's doing?
I didn't know that they were shipping it on ships to China to have
China.
Recycled.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes no sense, but.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that part's amazing to me. Is there a way that we could fix that? Sure. I'm a huge proponent of renewable fuels, too. But the funniest part is a lot of the people that are against climate change are also against, you know, certain types of renewables. Boo. And so, I don't know. I struggle with the whole, I don't know. I struggle with the conversation just in the sense that, you know, the ruling class cannot tell me how I should do things better. I mean, we should just, in general, want to do things better. But some of the things that she put in that deal are impossible.
Now, somebody said on Twitter last night, and I didn't have any time to look into it, really, was that her Green New Deal was basically just an Agenda 21 reason.
Okay.
Which I had not seen that, but that was written by the United Nations for Sustainable Development in, like, I want to say 1992.
Okay.
Yeah, 1992.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Which I thought was interesting. I had no idea.
Well, I mean, it's definitely not a new idea. All this stuff has come out before. I mean, she wants a high-speed rail. I mean, it's, you know, proven low-tech solutions that increase soil carbon storage, such as land preservation and afforestation. She wants to clean up hazardous waste sites. Well, yeah, duh. How about the EPA starts picking up some of their hazardous waste sites?
Yeah. Well, they're too busy, like, you know, trying to figure out how to, like, prop up big energy. Yeah. That's too.
You know, and she has a lot in here about, you know, what labor unions should be able to do, which I'm like, yeah.
To me, that's not a part of, you know, working with climate change, but that's the problem. You know, I'm going to be completely honest. It's just like climate, you know, the carbon credit thing. It was just another big market set up to move money from the poor to the rich, honestly. I mean, and that's most of this, that's what it is. I mean, I, you know, it goes back to the whole, you know, look at Congress, the Congress people that, you know, come in to office worth, you know, nothing or tens of thousands of dollars at most and are millionaires now. How does that happen? Well, obviously it happens because they're able to benefit from some of the laws that they put in place. And I think this is just one big way for people to benefit from the laws they put in place, telling us it's for our own good, you know.
And now, let's be clear, for my own sake, really, this is not a law. This is like a wish list.
It's a wish list, yeah. It's something that
something
they want
to
put
garner some, you know, attention and put her out in the news. I mean, Pelosi came out against it. Well, if the speaker is going to come out against it, it doesn't have a lot of traction.
Well, and Nancy Pelosi, I think, is going to come out against anything she does because she knows that she's a challenge to her, too.
Which I'm all about challenging Pelosi and moving her on out, so I'll support her on that. But
yeah.
Yeah, but it's the extreme.
I just find her interesting. I do struggle with the idea of her. Everyone says how dumb she is. Well, obviously she's dumb like a fox. You know what I mean?
She's like Ivy League educated. She's not dumb. I mean, she was bartending prior to this, but, you know, she was doing what she needed to do to get by until she, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't fault her for that at all, but she's not dumb. Yeah, I forget where she went.
Yeah.
Was it Harvard or Princeton or something? She's got a couple degrees.
I'm not sure. I mean, and so I struggle with that. And then it makes me wonder, like, why people, I mean, anything she says, like, I hate the memes of her, and I think that doesn't help our cause. You know what I mean? Like, trying to completely discredit her as a moron, all it does is make her a victim in the eyes of the people who either, A, don't know enough to know better,
well,
or,
be further ahead, you know, her and just...
Yeah, she becomes a sympathetic character. How many times have you read a book or seen a play?
It's just like the PETA videos. The more you complain about them, like people are with her, the more traction she's getting.
Yes, exactly.
Well, she obviously influenced her small area where she's representing, but now she has a national stage, and she can gain a lot more support.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
And social media did that for her, and people who don't like her did that for her. Social media did this. Social media made her who she is right now because, and it's the people who don't like her that elevated her to a new level. Seriously, those are
right.
The people who did it.
I mean, yeah, the best thing I think to do is just to let her say what she needs to say and move on. But, I mean, in saying that, though, I mean, I think we all know we can
but
do
everybody
better.
Complained
I mean, within
about
ag, we need to make sure that we go in a direction where we regulate ourselves and we steward things ourselves as opposed to getting stewarded by somebody else. So.
And I think that ag, most of ag knows that. And most of ag knows that, you know, we say all the time, of course we want the soil to work for us and we have to take care of it because we want it here for the next generation. I mean, let's be honest. Farming is
yeah, but we say that, but there's a lot of people with high cash rents that were just mining fields, and now they're getting back. It's getting back to the landlords. I mean, there's a lot of that going on.
It happens.
But you know, you got to be a good person too.
Yeah, we just have to be smart about what we do, and I mean, we're gonna have to battle this. But we've got to bat. I think it goes back to not knowing farmers. I think, you know, honestly. I think the conversation is always about, you know, food production and fighting to have that ability, you know, or teaching people that their food is safe. Well, I think they realize, maybe they don't, but I think we have a bigger battle on our hands than just teaching people that they can eat, you know, non-organic kale. I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. I think there's an entire group of people that want to see farming as we know it eradicated because they don't know what farming as we know it really is.
They'll still have food at the grocery store.
That's just my take.
And I think we're
Yeah.
And I think we're giving them a leg up talking about that on social media, to be honest. That's I mean.
Yeah, I think the fights about, you know, like organic and, you know, the fight, I don't know. The vegan movement maybe is more concerning just because it's a bunch of radical, you know, people that do want to do away with farming. But I don't know if fighting with them to prove that the dairy industry is okay is benefiting anyone. I think it's a
diversion.
Well, I mean,
people are still eating cheese, so why bother arguing with them? I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if people want to eat fake steak,
but
let them try it. I doubt half of them will like
it. Oh, my God. I don't understand.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why do they, if they're opposed to eating meat, why do they want to eat something that
thing
looks
is,
like
meat? I mean,
I
an egg,
know.
They bitch about everything. Okay, I eat my steak well done. Well, my God, I might as well not eat it. Well, okay, well, then I'm not buying it. You know, come on. Hello. And one of my friends, he's a cattle farmer, he's like, I don't care how you cook it. Just make sure you eat it. Or you buy it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cook three and throw two in the trash.
So what? I used to eat one stock. Get over it.
Someone would be like, oh, you food waste. Yeah, I am. Suck it. So, but on that note, I mean, I guess give us feedback on what you think. You know, we got a lot of feedback. I mean, we could spend a whole other episode on that.
Yeah. Read the Twitter feed on it.
Well,
let's check it out.
It's very interesting. One person in ag who took the right route. And that was, did you guys see Brandi Buzzard's letter to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? You know, she put that out there and just said, hey, come talk to me, you know, and obviously the congresswoman hasn't yet, but MSNBC has come out and, you know, she's been able to talk with them about, you know, the things she does on her farm that makes her a good steward and how she's raising beef today in a much more efficient way than they did even 10 years ago. You know, she really got traction and went a good route, I guess, in my opinion.
Well,
She also didn't start in by hating on her. She said, this is, you know, I admire you for... She paid her some compliments
being in the class, the biggest class of women, yes. You know, to come into Congress and for being so young.
She didn't start by slamming her.
I mean, and she related to her because I think they're, you know, somewhat in the same age bracket.
But,
yeah. Yeah, and she just invited her out. Well, you know what? It didn't work. She didn't come out, but you know what? MSNBC did, and maybe that's even better because more people were reached that way.
Yeah. I think that's a thousand times better. And I think that's a good example of what we need to do. You know, instead of coming out with venom, you get more flies with honey.
I was just trying to figure out what that name was.
Yeah. So yeah, but I think we'll be revisiting this topic. It's obviously not going away, but in the meantime,
you know, AOC won't be the last one.
No. So, in the meantime, check out the Twitter feed, and we'll be back next week with a new topic. So, have a good one.
See ya.